Isn't it great to know Jesus? Isn't it great to know the work of God? Isn't it good to be in heavenly places with Him? It is so great to be in fellowship again today, and we are going to finish up our series on 3 John. It's only two lessons long, so it's not much of a series, but we're going to finish it up here. And we just finished up in the earlier portions of Scripture, up until, I believe, verse 10, considering a lot of factors that were being addressed by the apostle to Gaius, Demetrius, and considering Diotrephes that needed to be considered for record for the whole church. And I'm so thankful has been passed down to our day. Lessons that we need to understand and spirits and attitudes that need to be addressed so that the church can be healthy, the body of Christ can grow, and that we can walk in the power of the Lord. Well, let me remind you of some of the things we discussed, if I could, because it's been a bit since we had that lesson. Okay. We talked about remaining faithful to the truth in verses 1 through 4. And that's important to whether or not always having somebody looking over us or considering us or watching our whereabouts, that we stay faithful to the truth in regard to our heart, life, and soul, and character. And that we need to be genuine in our affection one towards another, not vain, not disillusioned, and not people that go about feigning honor, feigning respect, but having it be that which is truly within the heart of the believer. And that we are the children of God, and that we need to walk about in the orthodoxy of the message, but also in the spirit of God's grace and power, understanding that we are bound one to another as a body in Jesus Christ. And that God wants us to be well. He wants us to be safe. He wants us to be sound. And He wants us to practice out our faith in our everyday living. We consider itinerant preachers, their comings and goings, the difficulty in being able to verify their message, their attitude, their spirit, sometimes coming into our churches without true background, etc., especially in the early days of the church where communication isn't like it is today with quick emails, telephone calls, cell phones, etc. And that we need to be cautious about the attitudes of those who come into the body of Christ to bring dissension, disruption, and have arrogance about them. Arrogance, which they show forth and feign some kind of fake humility, but basically they're trying to act like they know better than the elders, know better than those who have already laid down the faith and the foundations and have some super message and or, quote, they don't want you to receive somebody who might contradict that which they're trying to integrate within the church. But God wants to pluck and prune. Amen. We talked about contrasting approaches to ministry and the necessity of centering Diotrephes for his malicious, gossiping spirit, his not receiving brethren that should be received, and his rejection of some of the things that John declared to the church and considered yes and amen. And today we're going to talk about Demetrius and considering God's word from verses 11 through 14 of 3 John. But for a moment, if you would give me grace, I want to read from the Common English Bible and look at the scriptures we've read. It's only one chapter book, guys. So give me the honor to be able and respect of the word of God and its consideration to our hearts and begin reading the first verse of 3 John. Reading from the Common English Bible. And give me one moment here. From the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I truly love. Dear friend, I'm praying that all is well with you and that you may enjoy good health in the same way that you prosper spiritually. Here's this initial greeting of John, and he is immediately talking about his love, okay, for Gaius, and second of all, calling him a dear friend, and then going on to talk about good health and spiritual prosperity. And it also renders to body, soul, and spirit in God's total grace and resolve to see us blessed and have that abundant life that was promised in the book of John. Verse 3, I was overjoyed when the brothers and sisters arrived and spoke highly of your faithfulness to the truth. That's a great thing, to be spoken of highly in faithfulness and truth, shown by how you live according to the truth. You don't just speak it, you don't just preach it, but you live it. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are living according to the truth. There's nothing that God is so thankful for more so than that he knows his children are living out the truth. The word of God is being applied in the heart and coming forth out of everyday living and expressing itself in truth and character. That blesses God so much so. We become then those true living epistles that God wants us to be. Dear friend, you act faithfully in whatever you do for our brothers and sisters, even though they're strangers. It doesn't matter where they're from, you know, what they're doing right now. They might be strangers to us, but we are the body of Christ. And how we act in accordance to God's grace and show forth hospitality, mercy, and share the word. Amen. They spoke highly of your love in front of the church. You all would do well to provide for their journey in a way that honors God. Traveling ministers, different ones that come through, strangers, etc. The church, whether within or without, in expressing the kindred spirit of God, did so in such a way of hospitality and love that really caught the apostles' attention. And I promise you, it catches the Lord's too. Verse 7, because they left on their journey for the sake of Jesus Christ without accepting any support from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to help people like this so that we can be co-workers with the truth. It's a good thing to help and support and consider the brethren, financially, spiritually, and emotionally, who are doing the good work of God, and to not hold back in our affection towards them. Verse 9, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, doesn't welcome us. Don't be in the place in your life where you become a stumbling block, where you become a wall that God has to break down. Don't allow your attitude to be such that you inhibit, you keep back the grace and the power of God, because sooner or later, that wall's coming down. God's going to do something through someone or through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about, of necessity, the pruning, the removing, or the taking away of that barrier within the work and the fabric of his church. Because he wants us to have life, and he wants to see the love and the power of God expressed to this generation. So we don't want to be like Diotrephes, who would pump himself up and make himself first. Amen. Beware of this. This is the wrong spirit. Verse 10, because of this, of course, if I come, of course, I will bring up what he has done, making unjustified and wicked accusations against us. And as if that were not enough, he not only refuses to welcome the brothers and sisters, but stop those who want to do so, and even throws them out of the church. Now that's pretty bad, isn't it? And we talked about that a little bit in our previous lesson. You know, to be there and have the tongue that is wicked, first of all, in gossiping, and then you try to stop the progression of what God wants to do. You do those things that try to hurt the church, and then you try to kick out anybody who opposes your word. That is a stinking spirit, and God's got to deal with it. Amen. Now we're going to talk about some other things as we go forth, but remember that as we continue in this lesson. But let me read 11 through 14, which we're going to discuss today. But I wanted to remind you what we've already previously considered. Verse 11, dear friend, don't imitate what is bad. But what is good? Whoever practices what is good belongs to God. Whoever practices what is bad has not seen God. Hello? He hasn't even seen God. Verse 12. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, even the truth itself. We also speak highly of him, and you know that what we say is true. I have a lot to say to you, but I don't want to use pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will speak face to face. Peace with you. Your friends here greet you. Greet our friends there by name. There's an intimacy. There is a concern. There is a support that is shown by the apostle in these writings. The apostle exhorted Gaius to not to copy the evil of 3 John 11, deeds of individuals such as Diotrephes. Instead, Gaius was to follow the example of those who did what was good. The theological implication is that the way in which people behaved indicated how they were related to God, the source of good actions. James 1:17. Amen. God wants you to be blessed, but he wants you to act out of your spirit, and not your spirit, but that regenerated spirit that comes through the Holy Spirit that shows forth the character of God. Because everything from God is good. And the character of Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, always bears witness of the Lord. I've told Adam, my son, for years, that one of the most important things he can learn is the character of Christ and the fruit of the Holy Spirit to bear witness of the Lord. The power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the preciousness of the blood of Jesus, the greatness of our God, so many awesome things he could know and understand are fabulous. However, to live out Christ, to be a living epistle, and show forth that you have been with Jesus by the fruit of the Spirit, bearing witness, love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, etc., self-control. That's what makes the difference. That's what cuts through it all. Because it will prove itself true, and you will produce good fruit, showing forth the goodness of God that the apostle here wants to see represented in the church. Too many people today are substituting the fruit of the Spirit for, I've got the anointing, I've got the power, I've got the word, I've got the name, I've got this. You ain't got nothing. Hello? You ain't got nothing. That's not good English, but it works. And the reason I say that is because the fruit of God, the goodness of God is not within you. So whatever you do is not going to bear forth anything, no matter what you got. Because you're going to negate your testimony. Because you're not living out what God's putting in to your members. I don't care if you speak in tongues. I don't care if you sit there and you know all the doctrines. I don't care what you are. I don't care what side of the tracks you're from. But if you're not living like Christ did, bearing witness of his compassion, his love, and his mercy, and showing forth the fruit of the Spirit, you're not one of his. I don't care if you've been baptized or have any kind of the, quote, orthodox, technical, things done that are supposed to be that which says I'm a part of the church or you have a certificate or something else. I don't care. Amen. I guess I'm meddling right now. I better just be quiet. God wants us to be in fellowship and sharing kindness and compassion. He opposes evil deeds. He opposes spirits of darkness. And he wants us to walk in light. Let's look at 1 John 1:6 if we can. 1 John 1:6. But the reason I told Adam that he needed to show forth the fruit of the Spirit was for a reason. That is going to bear witness that you've been with Christ. Not if it looks great or you can shout the loudest or anything else, but that you live Jesus. Amen. Okay, now I said 1 John, I believe. All right, 1 John 1. I've got to remember the verse I wanted. 1 John 1:6. I'm sorry, guys. 1 John 1:6. If we claim we have fellowship with him and live in the darkness, we are lying and do not act truthfully. But if, verse 7, we live in the light in the same way as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. If you're walking in the light, you're obeying the things of God and not allowing the darkness to become a part of you, and a malignant spirit of pride, self-glory, self-aggrandizement, etc., to be a part of you, God is going to bless you. If you're looking toward building up the body and bring forth unity instead of criticizing and cutting down, God's going to mercifully help you. Amen. And you're going to be a blessing to those you come in contact with. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. I challenge you to live it out. I thank God that we can know the name of Jesus and the power of baptism. I thank God that we know about the blood, and I love the blood of Jesus. I thank God I know about sanctification. I thank God I know about regeneration. I thank God I know about all these things, and that I have been filled with the Spirit. But that Spirit better bear witness of his Spirit. Amen. His life and his attitude. While the apostle censured Diotrephes for the abuse of power, John commended Demetrius for adhering to God's truth. Let me say that again. While the apostle censured Diotrephes for his abuse of power, John commended Demetrius for adhering to God's truth. Most of what we know about this believer is found in 3 John 12. According to the later church tradition, John appointed Demetrius as a pastor of the Philadelphian church in Asia Minor, in keeping with the Old Testament directive about witnesses in Deuteronomy 19:15, John offered a threefold testimonial to the high character of Demetrius. The first witness consisted of all who personally knew Demetrius. They uniformly spoke well of him, verse 12 of 3 John. The second witness was the truth of the gospel. So confirmed was Demetrius' life to what Jesus taught, that in a personified way, it testified in support of Demetrius' godly demeanor. The third witness was that John himself could vouch for the integrity of Demetrius. With this threefold commendation, Gaius was encouraged to receive Demetrius, perhaps the bearer of 3 John, without any reservation. Without any reservation. So those three things have been spoken of considering Demetrius. First, consisted of his personality. Then, second, the gospel within him, living out through him. Then finally, integrity and commendation. Integrity and commendation. I want us to know today that God wants to see us blessed and to be just like Demetrius, a bearer of the gospel, and to share the good news. But how many of us truly are? Are we bearers of the gospel even when we're not preaching, even when we're not teaching, even when we're not behind a pulpit, even when we're not having a Bible study? Are we an epistle that can be read of all? Can people see the goodness of Jesus being personified from you today, from me today? And then, can the truth come forth as we conform to Christ and show forth his love in such a powerful way and have that godly demeanor? We don't just know the truth. We don't just know the things of God. We just don't know the gospel and talk about it and live it. We actually exemplify God. We have that demeanor that seems to say, I've been with Jesus. And then finally, have the witness of others that can declare of our integrity, our fortitude, our love for the brethren, and our consideration for the church. That we want to build up and not break down. We want to lift up and not tear up. Amen? We want to show forth the love of God, and we want to see God's work done without reservation and the outpouring of his Spirit. Amen. We're living in a day and age where everything is critical. Where everything comes to a place of trying to talk down somebody or put somebody away or try to find out a person's faux pas or their, you know, their mark of in their life that might show forth that they are, quote, not perfect. We are all being perfected in Christ. And we can all, if we look hard enough under the microscope of everyday life, find flaws in people. But we in the body of Christ need to encourage one another, help one another. And when we see flaws and when we see those things that are faux pas and things in our life that don't show forth the reflection of Christ, let us embrace and love and cherish that brother or sister in Christ and help them to have the whole package and to see the Holy Spirit begin to work in their lives and our Heavenly Father minister to them in such a way that on the potter's wheel they might be molded and shaped in such a beautiful way and see those things that are imperfect be weeded out. Amen? Why do you bring about criticism to your brethren? What is the reason behind your criticism? Think about that. Okay? Why do you go to a brother or sister and tell them about something? Is it to make a point? Is it try to lift up yourself? What is the reason? What is the spirit behind it? Think about that. You know, I appreciate my brethren and I appreciate my elders in Jesus Christ. And I would be foolish to think that I'm wiser than they, especially those not just in years gone on in the ministry, but who have shown themselves and have been given honor and are those who are over me. I believe in discipleship and honoring God and that there's places of authority where we put ourselves, that we allow people to interject with their lives in a way where we respect their perception of things. Do you really honor God and have a pastor in your life? Do you really honor God and have a shepherd in your life? Do you really honor God and have people that can speak into you in a way that gives forth a clarion call or is a spirit that can help you to remove those things or fetters and bounds that hinder you and help you to grow in the Lord? Or are you an island unto yourself, a city on a hill that is not reflecting God's glory, but yeah, just leave me alone, I'm fine. Or you think you know it all. Amen. We never know it all. We need to humble ourselves upon the altar of God daily. We need to consider Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus always had respect of the Father's plan he kept on talking about. He talked about doing the will of his Father. There was always a subjective attitude considering his submissiveness towards the ultimate will of God. And in our hearts and lives, we need to recognize that, that servant's heart. And that spirit, so that we can become what God wants us to be and to fulfill the calling of the Lord. Amen. I promise you with that attitude, with that kind of heart, God will lift you up and see you serve him in special places that you will not see by trying to put someone down, criticize them, trying to get the vote in the church or whatever it might be. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I'm getting all over the place here a little bit. But I want you to know that God looks for men and women like Demetrius. A person who very much so showed forth the consistency of his personality and was spoken of well. And that the gospel message was inbred within him. And that he showed forth a godly demeanor. And then that he was there in such a way living out his life that people could vouch the integrity of Demetrius. Amen. I want to be able to show forth the grace of God. And I want people to not just speak well of me because I like it, but because I want God to be glorified. I don't just want to show forth godly character. I want to do so for a purpose that it would bear fruit in his kingdom. And I want to be received so that I can convey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I can't be received, then I can't bless somebody today. Amen. I'm reading a book right now by Malcolm Smith about the prodigal son and the love that is shown, true agape love in the prodigal son and its consideration of Jesus' teaching in the Gospels. And when we see the father receive the son like he does and run to him and see the embracing and see the ring put on his finger and all these things. There's something to be said about that that goes beyond what looks like the beautiful attributes of so many things of being received by God, our precious Lord, and to see us received and be blessed of him and given authority, grace, and blessing. It's pure love. Because here's someone who went out and spent it all out, lost it all, but yet it didn't matter. He was still son. He was still son. He was still loved. Yet I know that the one brother stayed with dad the whole entire time, but this person, this son, despite it all, was engrafted in, blessed, loved by father. And I want you to know that our Lord loves you today, and he isn't looking at your faults. He doesn't care what pig trough you've been in. He doesn't care if you spent all your money and it seems like you're broken and down and out. Your ministry has been given over to shame. Your heart is broken. Your marriage has been broken on the rocks of life. He looks at you and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We need a fresh revelation of true agape love. And if you will sit there today, and you know, this is a side note, this wasn't in my notes, but if you look afresh at the prodigal son, look afresh at that passage and meditate upon it, I believe God will give you a revelation of what true agape love is, and you can begin to see how God wants to see it meted out between one another in the church, and that it comes from a pure heart filled with God's love that flows through us. It's not something we have inbred within us. It comes from the Father's heart. I'm a father. Some of you are fathers out there. There's a love that you have. There's a sacrificial nature about you concerning your kids or a special place that you cherish. And it never goes away, no matter what. And there's that place where you want to embrace, you want to love, you want to nurture. I wish I was closer to my girls, and I wish I was closer to some of my kids. They're all spread out now and things like that. But I love them, and I cherish or want to even be more so, having the opportunity than ever before to be with them, to show God's love as he showed his love with me. And as each and every one of us live out the Gospels, let us remember that we are trying to show forth the love that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what he wants to bear witness in the church. And if we'll truly get a hold of agape love and have the right attitude as such, we can speak into somebody's life and they're going to say, hey, their attitude, their heart is good. It might hurt a bit. I don't like the scalpel. I don't like what's coming in there and trying to get rid of that, you know, spirit of mind that is wrong in God that needs to be removed. I know that they are there for a purpose under God, and that what they've spoken is truth, and I'm going to remove this thing from my, through the power of God that is inhibiting me from living victoriously in Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 13 and 14. Okay, let's look at verse 13 and 14. But check into that, okay? I mean, I don't know why, but I feel in my spirit, I want you to, folks here in this Bible study group, and those who might be listening to this on tape or whatever later, remember agape love. Consider agape love and what it means to fellowship and ministry in Christ in the church. Okay, verse 13 and 14. And I got to get back to 3 John because I'm still in 1 John. You know, I know everybody's using electronic Bibles and I sometimes use them, but I just got the old word here. Amen. Glory to God. Let's see. I'll start with verse 11. Dear friend, don't imitate what is bad, but what is good. Whoever practices what is good belongs to God. Whoever practices what is bad has not seen God. Verse 12. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, even the truth itself. We also speak highly of him, and you know that what we say is true. Now verse 13 and 14, in closing out this study today. I have a lot to say to you, but I don't want to use pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will speak face to face. I want to stop there for a moment before I look at that last verse. There are some things I want to say to you face to face. some of you say things and do things over the phone or an email or otherwise that have no place being done so. Okay? There are things, some personal things of encouragement and love as well in other respects that cannot be shared unless they're face to face. They won't be properly received. So before you begin to speak to somebody, whether in commendation or in a spirit of insight from the Holy Spirit to change something in their life or in any other way, shape, and form, make sure it is something the Holy Spirit says is that which you can minister them over a telephone or over email or something like that. Because some things cannot be done in pen. They have to be done face to face. It will never be received in the way it's supposed to be unless it is. So check your spirit in prayer before you run off with the mouth or run off with this or run off with that. And I'm not trying to be insensitive here. I know it's easy. I mean, we're texting everybody. We're calling out people by the telephone. We're doing this and that by email. There's not near as much self love when it comes to the fact of face-to-face, being together physically or face-to-face in any way, shape, and form. We've almost become decentralized from it. Amen. Set apart from one another. I go into restaurants now, and this could be convicting right here, guys. I come to restaurants now, and I see the teenagers especially. They're all on their cell phones and everything else, and the parents might be talking to one another or something, but the kids are off in another world. Hello. And I go to not just restaurants with kids. I see adults doing it. I see young adults doing it. I still remember the day when, you know, we went down to the beach to just get alone for a while and nobody in the church could get a hold of me by a telephone or anything else. I just told everybody, hey, I'll call you once during the week. I'm on vacation. But you don't really get on vacation anymore. Hello? Two hellos. That's a big thing there. It's truth. Sometimes we do not draw aside. Look at the Gospels and check out how many times Jesus went aside to pray, went to a private place, refueled himself, got alone with God, let the Father minister to him, and the Spirit of God minister in such a way to invigorate him again, or for him to pause and take a moment to reflect. Okay? Take a pause. There's nothing wrong with taking a pause in your life and considering things each and every day. It will keep your sanity sometimes. It'll keep your clarity of what's going on. It'll help you in your relationships. It'll help you in your spiritual life. Pause for God. I'm going to say it again. Pause for God. Jesus did it. Before he went to Calvary, what did he do? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. He might have got disappointed by his brethren, but he prayed. He got himself ready. And in our hearts and lives, we need to remember that. And before we sometimes speak in an email blast or talk to someone on the phone, etc., I want to share with you these words of the apostle again here in the 13th verse. I have a lot to say to you, but I don't want to use pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will speak face to face. There are times that I have a wonderful time discussing things and talking with my dear brethren, but when we get together sometimes in fellowship face to face, when the Holy Spirit's coming down and we're ministering one with another, or we just sit down and have lunch together, what a difference it makes. You know, are you just sending your wife texts and email blasts, or actually are you relating to her? And not just when you go home or go to the bedroom or anything else. I'm not trying to get real intimate here. I'm trying to get personal, though, in the sense of how do you engage in everyday living and how do you find yourself communicating? There's a wonderful book, and it's called Love and Communicate, I believe. Love and Communicate. Might not be the perfect title. Look it up. It's on Abe Books. It's on Amazon. It's by Mac and Brenda Timberlake. Mac has gone on to be with the Lord, but Mac and Brenda Timberlake wrote some really neat things about marriage, but there's one particular book about love and communicate helps you to really understand man and woman and relationships in general and what's going on and what we sometimes think is all right. And us men are really mucking it up. And what women sometimes think is okay, but it's just emotional outgoing and men aren't getting it. I believe it's called Love and Communicate, some fashion like that. And I'll try to get it to our group here later. But it's by Mac and Brenda Timberlake. They talk a lot about the importance of that face-to-face, that intimacy. You know, if you ladies want to get your husbands to do something, don't sit there when they're watching a football game and saying, hey, honey, would you do this for me later? If they say amen, they'll do it for you. I promise you, they're not. They're in another world. Okay. Pause for time with God. Consider face-to-face, whether it's in intimate relationships or in our relationships one to another in the body of Christ. And finally, verse 15. Peace, 14 and 15, I apologize. I hope to see you soon, and we will speak face-to-face. Peace be with you. Your friends here greet you. Greet our friends there by name. Greet your friends there by name. This is extremely intimate by the apostle. He wants the peace of God to be with them. He's trying to relate also that friends in other churches are relating them and saying, hey, God bless. And then finally, greet our friends there by name. It isn't just trying to say, hey, speak to the church or speak to the body. It's trying to say, let them know by name. I love them and I appreciate them and I'm praying for them. Be personal about things. Don't just try to allow some quick swipe of things to be spoken and think it covers all the bases. Try to, in your ministering to people, be personal, be sincere, and show forth an attitude that's not just looking over the edges, but looks right in the heart, looks to them almost face to face and says, my heart is with you today. I've got brothers and sisters in Christ who write me and talk to me, and they will say some words in parting that I know they are truly thinking of me. And then sometimes they might tell me, hey, would you remember so-and-so, and would you personally tell them such? That shows me they've really listened, they really understand what's going on, and they care beyond just the immediate situation, but they see the whole periphery. Amen. So remember that in your ministering one to another. Name the names. Be personable. Hallelujah. I hope that this lesson has been a blessing to you. I pray that, wow, there's a lot in this. We got into some subjects I didn't expect that we were going to deal with. But God's that way. The Spirit of God's that way. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you for what you've taught us here in 3 John, and I thank you for what you've tried to address to our hearts. Help us to take this word and share it in a very precious fashion with those who we come in contact with, and allow the living, breathing Holy Spirit to come alive fresh within us, and help us to bear the fruit of the Spirit that we might genuinely show forth Jesus Christ. Anoint us, God, with a special anointing. Lord, that it wouldn't be us, but God in us getting the work done. And that we would care for one another. We would speak the truth in love, but we do it in an edifying way. And not with a malignant spirit. And to show forth the power of God to bear witness of you in this life. Build the church. Encourage the church. Help us to know our brethren. In a loving and caring way, not to get picky, not to quote know something, but God, to be able to bless them. And let that be my heart's intent. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope that you guys are thankful for being here today. Thank you for being with us. And I pray that you will be blessed and we'll be starting something else next week. God bless you.